And it turns out that if someone eats a donut, there's nothing wrong with eating donuts, by the way, but if you eat a donut and you feel bad about it, the worse you feel about yourself for eating that donut, the more likely you are to then go eat a whole box of donuts. And there is a scientific term for this. If you read the scientific papers, it's called the what the hell effect. Like, oh, what the hell? I'm so screwed up. I'll never change. What's the point? I might as well eat the whole box.
That's Dr. Kelly McGonigal. And this is the Depression Detox Show. And welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Wednesday. I am grateful for you tuning in with me today as we have returning speaker, Stanford lecturer, and health psychologist, Dr. Kelly McGonigal, back on the show with us today to share two scientific interventions that will hopefully discourage us from negative self-talk, negative self-criticism, and self-loathing, and to teach us what we need to do instead that will encourage us to engender more positive, lasting change from within. Here's Dr. Kelly McGonigal. Enjoy.
And yet what I want to talk about today is how many of us actually put the self of self-criticism, the self of self-doubt, we put that self in charge of the process of change. When we think about pursuing our own goals, creating the vision that we have for our life, overcoming bad habits, we take the self, who is actually the one who is suffering, the self-critic, the self-judge, the self-doubter. And we think that that self is going to be responsible for the process of change. And what I want to do today is talk to you about how we can connect to the self who's actually really good at change. And paradoxically, that is the self of self-acceptance and the self of self-forgiveness and the self of self-appreciation and self-compassion and self-love. And I'm actually going to show you five interventions today, really easy scientific interventions to get in touch with the self who is already capable of whatever the change is that you want to realize in your life. And my hope is that when you see these five studies, which are pretty cool studies, that you're going to see how possible it is to connect to that version of yourself who already knows what is possible and can move beyond that constriction of self-criticism and self-doubt and actually flourish in self-actualization. So the first intervention I want to tell you about, we're going to just stay on this chocolate theme a little bit longer, has to do with a very consistent finding in science that has to do with donuts. And it turns out that if someone eats a donut, there's nothing wrong with eating donuts, by the way, but if you eat a donut and you feel bad about it, the worse you feel about yourself for eating that donut, the more likely you are to then go eat a whole box of donuts. And there is a scientific term for this. If you read the scientific papers, it's called the what the hell effect. Like, oh, what the hell? I'm so screwed up. I'll never change. What's the point? I might as well eat the whole box. That actually is the scientific term for it. So the first intervention I want to tell you about, more donuts, has to do with how we can overcome this effect of when we feel like we've let ourselves down, how instead of remembering what our goals are, we tend to let ourselves down even further and kind of abandon ourselves and our goals. So this is an intervention where the researchers at Duke University brought very body-conscious women into the laboratory, young women, and forced them to eat a donut in the name of science. And they made them drink a full glass of water, too, and eat it very quickly. They were trying to make them feel uncomfortably full and a little bit disgusted with themselves. It's not a very nice study. And then the second part of the study was a candy taste test. And the experimenter brought in a tray of candies and said, we would like you to sample as much of these candies as you need to evaluate them. Now, the what the hell effect would say, the women who felt bad about eating that first donut, they should just eat the whole tray of candy because what the hell, they'd already given in, they might as well give up on their goal of eating healthy. But some of the women in this study were also given a message of self-forgiveness. And the experimenter, before the taste test, said, "By the way, we've noticed some people feel bad or guilty about eating that donut, and you might too. It's kind of mindfulness. And we just want to remind you that everyone indulges sometimes, common humanity. And I just want to encourage you not to be too hard on yourself." Okay, so these researchers were very familiar with Kristen Neff's self-compassion work. So they got this little message of self-forgiveness, and then the experimenter left them with the candy. It turns out that the women who got the message of self-forgiveness, "You might feel bad, but don't. Everyone indulges. Don't be hard on yourself." They actually ended up eating at fewer than half as much candy as the women who were not given the self-forgiveness message. They actually ate 28 grams versus 70 grams of candy. And that's a pretty big difference because a single piece of chocolate is only 3 grams. Okay, so 70 grams is a lot of candy to be eating after you just ate a donut. No judgment. But, you know. And this kind of blows people's minds because often when we talk to ourselves after we let ourselves down or experience a setback, it's very hard to imagine that if we say to ourselves, "You know, you're feeling bad about this, but don't be hard on yourself. Everyone has a setback. Everyone makes mistakes. Don't worry about it too much." We feel like that's going to be self-licensing. Like, then I'm going to just, of course I'm going to eat the whole cake. And it really comes down to, you know, who it is that we really think we are. And we go into this kind of self-criticism, self-evaluation, rather than self-forgiveness, when we think that who we really are is the self who can't be trusted. You know, the self who doesn't have our best interests at heart, the self who has no idea what our biggest goals and our values are. And so this first intervention, and one that you can actually bring into your own life, is to ask yourself this question of self-forgiveness. How do you respond when you let yourself down? And is there room in that moment to actually recognize Kristen Neff's message of self-compassion, that you can offer that to yourself? And how actually quite easy and possible it can be to shift out of the self who feels let down and then wants to give up into the self who, with forgiveness, can remind you of what your goals and values are. Okay, so the next intervention I want to tell you about involves brain scanning. This is a brain scanner. And if you want to imagine yourself in this study, you can imagine sliding your little head into that box there. And the participants in the study, which took place at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, the participants were smokers who really, really wanted to quit and really, really were not being successful at it. So they were really struggling with wanting to overcome this addiction. And they were asked not to smoke for 12 hours and to come into the lab. So these people, they wanted a cigarette so bad. Now, of course, you cannot smoke in an fMRI machine. That is not allowed. But when they were in the scanner, they were shown pictures of cigarettes and people smoking and people lighting up, which reliably triggers cravings, especially if you've not smoked in 12 hours. Okay, so these participants are lying in the scanner, and the screen is right up in your face, all these pictures of smoking. And these participants have also been taught the principle of mindful awareness of your own inner experiences. And they've been told that for some of these pictures, we are going to ask you to bring mindful awareness to what you're thinking and feeling. You know, there might be a craving present. There might be a thought like, "Oh my God, I need a cigarette or I'm going to die." We want you to just bring some mindfulness and allow yourself to feel what you're feeling and think what you're thinking, as opposed to how, you know, you might typically relate to this. And the researchers found something pretty remarkable. So when participants were able to bring mindful awareness to their own cravings, first of all, they felt a lot less stress. So in that moment, while they were experiencing the craving, they were less distressed about the fact that they couldn't smoke. And they also reported less intense cravings, that the power of trusting themselves to be with, to feel their feelings, and to be aware of that craving, that kind of self-trust actually transformed the craving so that it was less intense and that there was less suffering around the craving. And when they looked at what was happening in the brain, something really magnificent was happening with this kind of mindful self-trust. If you look at these images up here of the brain, what you're actually looking at, you can imagine it's like I'm standing sideways and you're going to slice my head up. so that you can take off the right side and peer into the side of the head. And as you go down, we're just going more and more into the middle of my brain. What you're looking at are three areas of the brain that make up what neuroscientists call the addiction network of the brain. The top two pictures are of the insula, which is the part of the brain that makes you feel awful when you do not have the thing that you are craving. It is the pain of needing to smoke or needing to drink or needing to buy something or whatever your own addiction is, that discomfort, that agony. The picture at the very bottom, the ventral striatum, that's the part of the brain that says, and you know what? It's going to feel so good when you give in. Okay, so we're holding the pain and the promise of relief and reward. And the area, the picture of the brain next up from the bottom, the premotor cortex, that is the part of your brain that plans your behavior. And part of the challenge of an addiction and craving is that when you experience a craving, your brain is already planning the signals to your arm to reach into your pocket for your lighter and your pack of cigarettes. It's making you feel awful. It's telling you the only way to feel good is to give in. And let's just get your arm ready for it in case there's a pack of cigarettes anywhere. That's the addiction network of the brain. And when it all works together, it is very hard to change a habit or overcome an addiction. And mindfulness functionally disconnected those areas of the brain. So although people were still feeling discomfort and they were still feeling the promise of reward, those areas of the brain were not connected functionally in the same way that makes it impossible to resist the craving. The process of self-trust was actually transforming the process of addiction, that change was unfolding all on its own in the brain. And so another little intervention that you might do with yourself is start to ask yourself, what's the inner experience that you think you cannot stand? Is it anxiety? Is it a craving? Is it physical pain? And often the things that we want to change, we end up stuck in the cycle because they're associated with a feeling we feel inadequate to. And we think we cannot handle it. And so rather than bringing some mindful self-compassion to it, we get drunk or we do something just to make it go away. And that process of being able to trust your own strength and your own capacity to be with difficult inner experiences is the very thing that actually eventually transforms those experiences.
Big thanks to Dr. Kelly McGonigal for stopping by. Her website is kellymcgonigal.com. That is also her Instagram. Her two latest books are entitled The Joy of Movement, How Exercise Helps Us Find Happiness, Hope, Connection, and Courage. And that is her most recent book. And the one that I highly, highly recommend that everyone read is entitled The Upside of Stress, Why Stress is Good for You, and How to Get Good at It. And if you'd like to check out the last time we've had her featured on the show, you can go in the show description and there'll be a list of all the past episodes that we've had her featured on the show. And if you'd like to watch today's entire talk, you can go to YouTube and type in Kelly McGonigal, Two Interventions to Foster Positive Change. All right. And lastly, before you go, follow me on Instagram at Depression Detox Show to see 1 minute motivational and inspirational reels of all the featured speakers that we have on our show. All right. That is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you back here tomorrow. So, until then, stay strong. Later.